When is the best time to file for Social Security?
This is Retirement Revealed, where Jeremy Kyle and his guests guide you towards making smarter retirement, investment, and tax planning decisions.
Welcome to Retirement Revealed. I'm your host, Jeremy Kyle, and we're here to turn your retirement savings into retirement income. Today, I'm talking about the best time to file for Social Security. And we're talking today about Social Security because April is Social Security Month. Last year, we did all four April episodes on Social Security with some absolutely great guest interviews. So go to retirement-reveal.com, click on the Social Security category, and you can see my interview with Mark Kiner, who runs the National Social Security Advisor Program, and his one is called How to Get the Most Out of Your Social Security. I also invited Devin Carroll, who's got a YouTube channel and blog called Social Security Intelligence, and his episode is called How to Get Smarter About Social Security. So we'll put those in the show notes. And also make sure to listen to my podcast 2 weeks from now when I answer your questions about Social Security and its connected program, Medicare. So we're talking today, how do you get the best time? When's the best time to file for Social Security? And you might be waiting for me to say the age is 62 or the age is 67, your full retirement age for most people these days, or the age is 70, just wait as long as you can. Well, I'm not going to tell you a specific age. I'm going to tell you the process. How do you go about with a process to find the best time to file for you? There's really three steps. And the first step is to go out and get your own personal life expectancy estimate. How long you live, how long you're getting money from Social Security is the number one factor on this. If you expect to live a short time, if you expect to live a long time, and you're doing a spreadsheet, you're doing the math, whatever number you plug in there is going to be the number one factor on how you should file for Social Security and how much you get out of Social Security over your lifetime. So if that's the number one factor, that is the first thing you got to look at. And I'll tell you, unfortunately, there's three reasons why when you think of your life expectancy and how long you might live, chances are three reasons that you're wrong. I hate telling people they're wrong, but you're probably wrong about your life expectancy. The first reason is the newspaper. When you are reading average life expectancy in America, it's just a wrong number. It doesn't apply to you. One reason, and we've talked about this before on a podcast, is they are taking the average death rates of everyone from 0 to 120 in America, and they're just multiplying them together as if a newborn baby lived their entire lifespan over 1 year, which is just not reality. That's just not how life works. You don't live your entire lifespan over a year from 0 to 85 or whatever the number is that you make it to. That's just not how it works. And that number, because they do it that way, is basically wrong. We talked about that a recent podcast. I'll link to that, how it's wrong by probably 5 years is roughly what they're estimating. It's also wrong too, because it is talking about that newborn baby. And you weren't born yesterday. You're planning on retiring pretty soon. You're probably around 60 years old. And that means you've beat the odds. All the people that did not make it from 0 to 60-ish are in that life expectancy estimate. You need a new life expectancy estimate based on your current age. Demographers, people that are actuaries, they say the longer you live, the longer you live because you beat the odds. So you need to get a personalized life expectancy estimate based on your current age. You're also probably wrong about your own life expectancy estimate because you might be basing it. Most people I talk to, they're basing this on, well, my parents lived to here, the men of my family lived to here, my grandparents lived to here, so that's how it's gonna play for me. Think of your parents and your grandparents. You have 25 to 50 years of medical advances on them. Imagine the last 25 or 50 years, how much medicine has improved, how much the knowledge of health has improved, and you get that benefit of that 25 to 50 years that your parents and grandparents don't have. So that's another reason you're basing it on your parents and grandparents, and you have, thankfully and hopefully, a better health and medical experience because of that extra length of time. And the final reason why you're probably wrong about life expectancy only applies if you're in a couple. And the reason why it applies within a couple is if you're planning out your entire retirement, it's not about your specific life expectancy from the start to your finish. It's about the average for the couple. And life expectancy is just an average. Some people are below average. Some people are above average. And if there's two of you, chances are one of you is below average and one of you is above average because that averages out to average. So if you're planning for your life expectancy and there's two of you, it's not about your average. It's about the average of the couple. And generally, again, there's 3, 4, 5 years extra you need to plan for because on average, a couple, the second person will live longer than just the average of one person. That's just how longevity works. And of course, those are all the reasons. You don't even have to know any of these reasons. Just go to a place like longevityillustrator.org, plug in your information in terms of your age, your gender, are you a smoker, your health status, and it will give you not just your own life expectancy, it'll give you the probabilities that you go before or after, and it'll do that joint life expectancy for you. So number one, because that's the number one factor in how much you get from Social Security, is get your own personalized longevity estimate. The second factor is to get your own personalized Social Security estimate. When you get a Social Security estimate from the government, they're using the same exact inputs for everybody. They're saying that whatever you earned last year, you're going to earn for the rest of time. And they're saying that even though you're 55 or 60 now, you're going to work all the way until your full retirement age of 66 to 67, or even to your full retirement age of 70. They're making these assumptions that are probably not accurate. You probably are not working until age 70. You probably are not earning the exact same amount last year for the rest of time. Hopefully, and I think thankfully, you probably know more about your retirement and your plans than the government does. So go into socialsecurity.gov and plug in your own personal estimates because that'll be a better estimate, right? Put in the actual dollar amount that you think, not that you earned last year, but what you think you'll keep earning over time. Because maybe last year you got a bonus. Maybe last year you only worked half the year. You're in between jobs. They're just taking whatever happened, their most recent number, and they're just saying, let's just throw it in there for the rest of time. So plug in a number that's more accurate for you in terms of the dollar amount you expect to earn until you retire, and plug in your actual retirement date that you are planning to retire. Don't rely on the government's numbers. Get your own personal Social Security estimate. Now, the third way to figure out what is the best time for you to file is to approach Social Security based on its actual name. It's not, let me put these numbers into a spreadsheet and apply some rate of return and figure out what's the lifetime number, what's my break-even amount, what's my present value, or if you're doing some sort of calculation in your Excel spreadsheet. Approach Social Security like its intended official name. It is Old Age Survivor Disability Insurance. It's there for your old age. It's there for your survivor. It's there as insurance. It's not an investment. It's an insurance. It's there in case you run out of money because you live longer than you expected. It's there for your survivor in case you die too soon and they need some money left over. It's there just in case. It's the insurance part of it. When you approach Social Security in that manner, you are approaching it in a way that should give you the most over your lifetime, that should give you the best chances of making things work no matter what happens, if it's a long lifetime or a short lifetime. So that's your process for when you plan to figure out how you're going to file for Social Security. One, get your personalized longevity estimate. Two, get your personalized Social Security estimate. And three, approach it the way that Social Security is intended, which is old age, survivor, and disability insurance. Now you're hearing that, you got the process. You're probably still wondering, Jeremy, should I file at 62 or 70, right? This is the stuff I'm hearing. So let's address some of these specific ages. So should I file for Social Security at 62? You should file for Social Security at 62 if your life expectancy is lower than average And you take a look at it to figure out, am I likely to live to the point where waiting isn't going to make sense to me? I say that, but actually get your own life expectancy estimate. A lot of people think their life expectancy is lower than it really is. So perhaps that's a reason to file at 62, is you have a lower life expectancy, but go actually get the correct and more accurate estimate for yourself. You might file for Social Security at 62 if your benefit is the lowest of the two benefits. If you are a couple and you have two benefits, you're getting two Social Securities over your retirement, the smaller one goes away first. The higher one, that will stay with the survivor over time. So if you are the lower benefit, it doesn't truly pay off a lot of times to keep on waiting to get a little bit more, because it's a shorter amount of time frame you'll be collecting that benefit. The surviving spouse only gets the higher benefit, the lower benefit goes away. Think of Social Security like a box of money. And the smaller one is a shorter box that isn't as wide. It's not there as long. The bigger one is a bigger box that lasts a longer amount of time. It's a bigger box. They both grow at 8%. And if you have the choice between growing a small amount of money at 8% or a big amount of money at 8%, you want to take the bigger amount of money and grow that at 8%, which often encourage you then to perhaps take the lower of the two benefits earlier, perhaps as early as 62. Now, the next question is, should I file at the other extreme? Should I file at 70? Well, one reason might be, these are kind of the opposites of the other one. So should I file for Social Security at 70? If your life expectancy is longer, you are likely to live long enough to actually make it worthwhile for you to wait on Social Security and get that higher benefit. But again, just go check your own personal life expectancy at longevityillustrator.org. If your benefit is the highest of the two benefits, that's a reason to wait on Social Security, perhaps all the way to 70, because it's your benefit that will last the longest, that will be there for the surviving spouse. If you're trying to do Roth conversions and you're trying to take money from your traditional account and move it over to your Roth account, if you have yet to file for Social Security, that just kind of gives you more room, more time to do that on there. So those are reasons why you may consider waiting on Social Security. And of course, looking at the extremes of 62 versus 70 is really just the way to kind of get an idea of which way you ought to be trending. So chances are you're wondering, if I'm a couple, when should I file for Social Security? Well, I just want to give you an idea, just a thought, because a lot of people come in, they're going to file both at age 65. And I just want to give you this idea, just a thought experiment. What if the person with the lower benefit files earlier than expected? Maybe let's just say 3 years earlier than expected. Then what if the person with the higher benefit, they file later than expected? Let's say 3 years later. So somebody 3 years earlier, somebody 3 years later than expected, that averages out to exactly what you're planning on. But the difference is now you have a lower amount of the lower Social Security, which will end at some point in time. But now you have a higher amount of the higher Social Security that will last a longer amount of time. So if you're in a couple, think of that, just that thought experiment first of what if I take the lower one earlier and the higher one later, see how that looks at it. Now, a lot of times you might ask me, well, when should I file for Social Security if I'm single? And my first question is, well, have you always been single? Right? I'm not your therapist, but I'm probably going to ask you about your past relationships. Because just because you're single today doesn't mean you have always been single. And you may have been married in the past. You might have abilities to file as an ex-spouse. You might have had a spouse that died beforehand. You're a widow or a widower, and you might have survivor benefits. So just because you're single now doesn't make it easy. Here's just the answer. You've got to look back and take a look at what other benefits you might have available because of a past marriage on there. Then though, if you are single, and especially if you've always been single, you can't really just play those odds where one person takes it early, one person takes it later. You've only got your one benefit. So you definitely need to get it right. You definitely need to go then to longevityillustrator.org and just consider waiting longer than you thought, right? You only have your own Social Security to rely on. So if you live longer than you expect, you only have your own investments to rely on. You don't have somebody else's Social Security or investments to rely on. So if you're single, a lot of times people take that thought of, I'm single, I got no one else to rely on, I'm just going to take it earlier. I would just encourage the thought of, you've only got your own benefits to rely on, maybe take it a little bit later than you expect them. So the answer to when to file for Social Security is, don't rely on hearsay. Don't rely on what others tell you. Yes, play the odds of, okay, this is probably going to work out, but get the odds correct. And getting the odds correct is based on getting the right numbers for your longevity, getting the right numbers from Social Security. So there you have it. The best time to file for Social Security is when you get the most out of Social Security over your lifetime. It's based on not just your Social Security, but perhaps your spouse's Social Security, your other investments, your other tax situations. Make sure to go to retirement-revealed.com or comment in the Mr. Retirement YouTube channel to ask me your questions that I will answer to you right away and then later on for the benefit of our other listeners. Thank you for listening to the Retirement Revealed podcast. We believe if you know more about your money, you will feel better about your money and you will make better money decisions.
This was another great episode of the Retirement Revealed podcast. Click on the subscribe button below to automatically get our latest episodes. If you liked our show and want even more, please give us a rating and a review at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. Please go to retirement-revealed.com to learn more and send us your questions and feedback. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guests and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Kyle Financial Partners, Thrivent, or its affiliates. The guests are not affiliated with or endorsed by Thrivent Advisor Network. Kyle Financial Partners does not provide legal, accounting, or tax advice. Consult your attorney or tax professional. Representatives have general knowledge of the Social Security tenets. For details on your situation, contact the Social Security Administration. Kyle Financial Partners is part of the Thrivent Advisor Network, a registered investment advisor. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investment advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have with your investment planning. Advisory persons of Thrivent provide advisory services under a doing business as name or may have their own legal business entities. However, advisory services are engaged exclusively through Thrivent Advisor Network, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Kyle Financial Partners and Thrivent Advisor Network, LLC are not affiliated companies. Information in this message is for the intended recipients only. Please visit our website, www.kylefp.com, for important disclosures.